T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a way to end the work week. Holy cow. The next 4 hours are going to fly by. I hope in a cacophony of music and sunshine and beauty. And of course, that's proverbial sunshine, since there are no places right now where it's actually sunny, we think. So, Alaska, Hawaii. Nope, even in Hawaii, which is right now at 9 o'clock. That's right, 9 o'clock. There's no sunshine there either. So we're going to have to wait on the sunshine, but you can still have sunshine and roses in your heart. Okay, I know I'm a weirdo. I'm just really happy that we're 4 hours to the weekend. And 4 hours to payday, because a girl has got some bills waiting for her. And it's been quite a week. I had this epic idea that this week would catapult me back into a calm routine, the type of routine that I was hoping for post-football. But you know when you're gone for, I don't know, 2 weeks, or the better part of 2 weeks, or in my case, I had traveled 3 consecutive weeks, and the last week was Atlanta, and it had just gotten to be a lot. And so as I was kind of unpacking one bag and packing another, I kept thinking, okay, I'll put off this appointment. I will take care of that email when I get back. I'll answer that phone call at some point. And so then I am done with Atlanta and we get through the Super Bowl and I'm home this week and I think, okay, this is going to be great. Finally, out from underneath the behemoth that is football. And instead it's been trying to get out from underneath the pile of items on my to-do list that I ignored, but delayed and procrastinated over the last couple of weeks. So I'm sure you can identify, we all have those stretches where we have to choose between one task and one chore and another, and then eventually you have to pay the piper. But it's almost the weekend, which is the positive piece of all of this, and there's coffee to help us get through weeks like this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dave and I are both fully equipped with the coffee, and Brian is with us tonight because Chris has taken a personal day for some family stuff, and so it's the three of us who will help you to bid farewell to your Thursday, which was a busy one in sports, and usher in a Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I just want to say one more time how much I appreciate all of the tweets and Facebook messages from women who are listening all over the country. And if you missed it on last night's show, it was National Girls and Women in Sports Day on Wednesday. And so as we were starting Wednesday night and going into Thursday morning, I asked for you females who are listening around the country to let me know. And I got your tweets and your Facebook posts all day on Thursday. Thursday was a bit of a bear, so it was very encouraging to me. Thank you for that. And then I got this one gentleman who apparently didn't understand the point of encouraging women to tweet or to call the show. And he sent me a tweet that said, "Do you appreciate your male callers as well?" Oh dear, Twitter. Always something. You're always jealous, always envious. like today when I tweeted, "Good afternoon, Raptors fans." And I got several Bucks fans who were jealous because I didn't send them a special tweet as well. I know, just it's terrible when the radio host does not acknowledge your existence. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you dare. And then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We will get to the NBA trade deadline because the two teams in the league with 40 wins, they're at 40 wins now atop the Eastern Conference, they both made moves to try to bolster their rosters as we finish up, what, the final 26, 27 games of the NBA regular season. It's kind of interesting to think about. We haven't even hit the All-Star break yet, though we're getting there. And we just got through the trade deadline on Thursday afternoon. And now here we are talking about the final 26, 27 games of the year. So it's going to be quite a stretch run. So we'll talk about the moves made by both the Bucks as well as the Raptors. And also the streak continues for Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, while flying under the radar a little bit, are turning into a force to be reckoned with. We also have some reaction from Mike Conley, who loses his partner in crime, so to speak, in Mark Gasol. The two All-Stars split up in Memphis, but you can understand why Conley is not only relieved to not have to pick up his whole life and start over, but also why he didn't sleep for the last night. So I feel like I can identify with that. He said he was checking his phone 1,000 times, waiting for the news to come that he had been traded. So maybe that puts in perspective that these are not just pawns or commodities as much as pro sports is a business, and trades happen in a business, just like hiring and firing and promotion and benching. All of those things happen in business, but they're also people. And when they get traded, it's like when you and I start new jobs, whether our choice or the choice of a company, or you get transferred, it's hard sometimes to think about starting all over again and settling into a new city and a new home and trying to find the grocery store and getting comfortable with the route to work. And I mean, there's a lot that goes into that, no matter if you are a professional basketball player or if you're some radio host that operates in relative anonymity. And so I can understand the anxiety going into these final days before the trade deadline. The big domino, of course, Anthony Davis does not get traded. So that move is not made for the Lakers or anyone else, which means it should be a big free-for-all come NBA free agency. Not because Davis will be a free agent, but because you will have the Pelicans entertaining multiple offers once we get to the new league year. So we'll talk a lot about what happened and what didn't happen at the NBA trade deadline. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It wasn't last night. It would have been, or maybe it was last night. Shoot, all the days are running together. Whenever it was that the Lakers played the Pacers, it wasn't last night. It was Wednesday night. And they got blown out by 42 points. It was the worst loss of LeBron James' career. And at one point in Indiana, the Pacers had been up by nearly 50, right? So this is without Victor Oladipo. And not only were the Lakers completely embarrassed, but there was a photo that was taken of LeBron at the far end of the Lakers bench and the rest of his teammates who were not on the floor crammed up toward the coaching staff, leaving this huge gap of, I think, 3 or 4 seats between LeBron and everybody else on the Lakers bench. If you have not seen it, producer Chris put it up on our show Twitter, which is After Hours CBS. And it got a lot of attention for obvious reasons. Now, it could have been that those three players that were sitting in those chairs just had gotten up and gone to the scorer's table, but the idea being that there's been some damage done. Is it irreparable damage to the Lakers locker room? I guess we'll find out. But the fact that LeBron and Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss and the Lakers organization was willing to trade away multiple young guys. In fact, five players at the best offer that the Lakers had to present. It was five guys. That's not the pizza place. That's a starting lineup, for heaven's sakes. But the Lakers were willing to trade away five different guys. Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram. At one point, they even offered Josh Hart and Lance Stephenson. I mean, they just on and on. Take what you want, Pelicans. The only thing that's not available is LeBron James. Yikes. So that obviously doesn't play well in a locker room. It wouldn't play well in my locker room. I can understand why those guys are not super excited about hanging out with LeBron or wondering what's going to change in the offseason. And again, that was coming then at the same time that they got blown out by 42 points. You'll have to forgive their distractions. Well, then on national TV, the Lakers head into Boston to take on the Celtics. Now, Rajon Rondo was never part of any trade package or trade offer that I could tell or that I heard. Even, I think that would be more obvious, right? Simply because he was with the Pelicans last season. They're not taking him back. So at least he was safe. So he proudly goes back to Boston. And if you know anything about Rondo, here's what you know. He gets up for the nationally televised games. In his career, he's always had better games at home or on national TV on playoff stages when the world is watching than those games that are nondescript on a Tuesday night in the middle of a season where very few people are paying attention. And so you knew, if you know anything about Rondo, you knew to expect a real strong game by him. And he came through in a major way in the final seconds.
10 seconds to go in the game. Ingram dribbles into the front court. Ingram still dribbling. Ingram to the rim. All the way to the basket. Blocked by Horford. Ball's loose. Grabbed by Rondo for the win. He got it! Rajon Rondo at the buzzer. A follow-away two-pointer. Lakers 129. Celtics 128. It's over!
John Ireland with the final call on the Lakers radio network. We'll give you the Celtics call. And again, it's because of this tangled web with Rondo having won a championship in Boston. So I want you to hear the final sequence because it was 20 seconds of mayhem inside the Garden. On one end, Kyrie Irving dives from the top of the key, drives down the right side of the lane, kisses it high off the glass, and gives the Celtics the lead. And then on the other end, so there's no timeout. As you hear Ireland say, there are 10 seconds left to go, and there's a high screen, a high pick for the Lakers on the right side, so above the wing. And Brandon Ingram, there's no roll. Brandon Ingram ends up taking that ball, and he gets past Al Horford, who was obviously trying not to foul, but Ingram got past him. He tries the reverse layup that's no good. So then Horford touches it. Jason Tatum gets a hand on it. The ball caroms around. It probably touches three or four different guys until it ends in Rondo's hands. I think it was at the left elbow. So he's right there at the left elbow. In one motion, he turns, and with a soft touch, he buries the jumper. Rondo's not known for his soft touch or burying the jumper, but he is known for that flair for the dramatic. And so on that note, he helps the Lakers stun the Celtics in Boston, 129-128. LeBron James with a triple-double. But it was Rondo with the 17 points, the 10 assists, the 7 rebounds that helped the Lakers recover from not just the 42-point loss to the Pacers, but a tumultuous week. So you'll hear from Rondo and LeBron coming up, and then we'll get into some of the other major news from the NBA trade deadline. It was really quiet for a while. In fact, if you look at my Twitter, and you know all tweets are timestamped, so I didn't go back and delete it because it was... At the time that I tweeted this, I was procrastinating my writing, of course. It's so quiet is what I tweeted. And it was. With about, 90 seconds to go before the trade deadline, it was silent. And then all of a sudden, little burst here, little burst there, some fireworks. And we end up with a couple of players moving around that could, in fact, bolster both the Bucks and the Raptors as they make a run for the Eastern Conference Finals and potentially the NBA Finals. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're heading toward a Friday here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Both teams out of timeouts. Both teams over the limit. Lakers lead by one. Gordon Hayward inbound to Kyrie, straight away against Ingram. Tatum sets the screen. Kyrie, right-hand dribble, turns the corner on Kuzma, attacks the paint, floats it off the window and in. Celtics lead 11.5 to go, no timeouts. Rondo into Ingram. Ingram will walk it up into the front court, 8 seconds to go. Ingram to his right, behind the Chandler screen, starts his drive, past Horford, reverses it up, blocked by Horford. Loose ball, pinballed around. Rondo for the game, he got it! The ball bounces to Rajon Rondo, who hits from the left elbow, and the Los Angeles Lakers have scored a stunning buzzer-beating win in Boston.
Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the Celtics Radio Network, and of course, Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell know Rondo extremely well. He was a member of their most recent championship run. And would you believe that was Rondo's first career buzzer beater in his entire basketball life? That was his first career buzzer beater. Pretty impressive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Boston LA final sequence just seemed like the perfect microcosm for the wild ride the Lakers have been on all week long. I don't know how they go the rest of the season, if they can work all of this out. I do know the trade deadline has passed, but the drama remains. Sometimes you can't just snap your fingers and pretend like it never happened. That's not real life. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you are a fan of a team that made a deal or a fan of a team that did not, what's your reaction to the NBA trade deadline? Meanwhile, Kristen Ledlow got Rondo's reaction to the Celtics-Lakers finish on TNT.
Just get it up. Get the arc up. Believe it or not, I always dream like this, you know what I mean? But I couldn't picture it being this sweet coming back on, 13 years in, where it all started. Team struggling right now, and I think it's going to be definitely a confidence boost, of course.
When you walk into this building, where does your mind go first? I asked you where your mind was last, but where does it go first?
Home. Where it all started, Danny believed in me from day one, and my career probably wouldn't be the same if I went anywhere else.
Oh, it's my turn. Kristen Ledlow on TNT with Rondo. I like his very dramatic answer. She says, where does your mind go when you come into this building? And he said, home. I can hear all this music now playing in my head. But maybe that's just me. So Rajon Rondo with his first career buzzer beater. Of course it happens in Boston. And of course it happens on national TV because that's him. That's what he does. Meanwhile, LeBron James, 28 points, 12 assists, 12 rebounds, a triple-double. Who knows what his teammates think of him, but I guess a step at a time.
I wanted the ball. Marcus denied me all up the court. But when you got multiple ball handlers on your team, you can give it to somebody else. And B.I. got a great job. Horford was able to contest it. The ball bounced around. And what better hands did it fall in than the former Celtic?
Well, okay, I'll agree with that. But let's be honest. It's not like the Lakers picked Rondo's hands. It caromed around like a pinball and got touched by three or four other guys, including at least two Celtics. And if I'm Al Horford or Jason Tatum, I'm thinking, that ball was just out of my reach, and somehow it ends up in the hands of one Rajon Rondo. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So that was Celtics-Lakers. It wasn't nearly dramatic for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and if you noticed that they continue to hang around and make some noise, and yet no one's really paying attention.
Conley cross-courts it out front to Holiday, who's sealed by Ferguson. Thunder really ratcheting up the defensive intensity. Holiday with five to shoot, widens out left double, crossing over. Slithers behind the back with a dribble and loses it to Westbrook. Russell the steal in the open court. Takes it home with a two-hand dunk. Westbrook's got 9 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists.
He had yet another triple-double. Matt Pinto on the Thunder Radio Network. Westbrook goes 33 minutes. Not a great shooting night, but has 15 points, 15 assists, 13 rebounds. Paul George had a much better shooting night, especially from downtown. PG, 13, was 6 of 13 from beyond the arc. And so he finishes with 27, but all he wanted to do was talk about his teammate, Russell Westbrook.
One of the best teammates I've ever had. You know, he's I don't even know, you know, if the words to call it. You know, he's just a person that's 100 all the time.
Well, that's true. We know that there's no mid speed. There's no second or third gear from Russell Westbrook. He goes 0 to 65 in the span of 2 or 3 seconds, and you got to imagine it's black or white. It's on or off. It's all or nothing for Westbrook. Now, as we continue this tangled web on Thursday in the NBA, the Thunder were playing the Grizzlies. So they beat the Grizzlies. And again, Westbrook with his 8th consecutive triple-double. The Grizzlies were adjusting to the fact that they had just traded away All-Star Mark Gasol to the Toronto Raptors. Now, Mike Conley ends up staying put, but he loses his running mate. I mean, this is the core for the Grizzlies. And remember, they tried to trade both Conley and Gasol, but only ended up trading Gasol away before the deadline.
You kind of try to prepare yourself as best you can, knowing that it's possible that, you know, Mark will not be with us come the trade deadline. And you think you kind of figured it out. You're ready for it. But when it happens, you know, it's a completely different locker room. It's a completely different feel. You know, you get out there to play and you're bringing the guys in the huddle and there's no Mark.
I can imagine. So for the guys who are shipped to other franchises and the guys who remain behind, it's very jarring. So the Grizzlies lose one half of their dynamic duo. They are really struggling. They're 12 games below 500 now. And so this is more about posturing for the future than about what they could do here and now. Speaking of the here and now, Anthony Davis does not get traded at the deadline. And remember the big question we asked over the last couple of days, whether or not he would play from here on out. And we gave you both sides of the argument, and I heard from you on social media as well as on the phones. The idea being that if you're trying to trade Davis and you want to get as much as possible in a package for him, whether this week or in the offseason, when your bargaining power is still at its height, are you going to sit him down? Are you going to keep Davis on the shelf in bubble wrap so that he doesn't get hurt and then cripple your trade value for him? Well, according to the front office, the Pelicans will play Anthony Davis the rest of the year. So a couple of things going into this decision. Number one, Davis wanted to play. He just got cleared. I think he's missed 8 or 9 games with that finger injury. So he just got cleared to resume practice. He was questionable for Wednesday night until the Pelicans decided it was better not to play him in advance of the deadline in case they pulled the trigger on a trade. They knew they weren't going to. Don't them fool you. And so Davis wants to play the rest of the way, which I appreciate. And also, how about this little nugget? Adam Silver weighed in with the Pelicans and told the front office that he was concerned. The NBA was concerned about benching a perfectly healthy player for the rest of the season. And I can understand that. I'm glad the NBA stepped in. I don't know if Adam Silver could have said play him or else, but the idea that a perfectly healthy all-star and one of the game's elite, the reason why people show up to watch Pelicans games, would be sitting on the end of the bench even though he wanted to play, that would bother me too. So I'm glad that Adam Silver at least indicated how he felt about the situation and that the Pelicans are in fact going to allow Davis to play. Just that's opening up a can of worms that I hope we never have to deal with. So Davis stays, but don't you in any way, shape, or form feel like the drama will subside, because no, it's going to be a huge topic, like Kevin Durant and his free agency the rest of the way. It's going to be one of those topics that just picks up speed. It's like an avalanche rolling downhill, and it just picks up momentum and speed and snow and ice and everything else. And it, I mean, this Anthony Davis potential trade in the offseason will turn into it's going to turn into a blockbuster news item whenever it happens. But now a lot more teams, you would expect, are a lot more. Three or four, maybe, more teams would jump into the fray. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. For those of you who are old-time baseball fans, what do you remember about Frank Robinson? I never had the privilege of seeing him play, but I do remember his face. I remember the way people talk about him. I remember hearing about him as the first African-American manager. And of course, he's been a great ambassador and representation of the game since he retired and since he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so we'll talk about Frank Robinson a little bit as we head through this next half hour, because baseball is now mourning the loss of one of its greats. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Frank Robinson. Frank Robinson played the game of baseball with total integrity and steadfast determination. He won Most Valuable Player awards in both the National and American Leagues. He achieved the American League Triple Crown in 1966. His teams won 5 league titles and 2 World Series championships. In 1975, Frank Robinson broke the color barrier as baseball's first African-American manager, and he later won Manager of the Year awards in both the National and American Leagues. The United States honors Frank Robinson for his extraordinary achievements as a baseball player and manager, and for setting a lasting example of character in athletics.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What didn't Frank Robinson do in Major League Baseball? You look at his resume and there isn't anything that he didn't accomplish. And the wake of his the wake of his sweeping through a franchise, whether a player or a manager, was wide, and it left a mark. And I appreciate the fact that for this man, not only are the tributes pouring in, but for this guy who blazed a trail and who did it with this incredible smile and toughness and resolve, he's unforgettable, not just because of the resume, but because of how he played the game and handled himself. He earned the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And he was also a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he was a trailblazer. And he was an icon. And he's certainly legendary, with a legacy that can never be replicated. I never had a chance to see him play, and I don't remember those days when he was managing, but I do remember hearing about him. And I remember seeing the smile. And all of baseball is now mourning his passing at 83 years old, though I'm not sure how much more he could have crammed into his incredible life. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I saw a tweet from the Washington Nationals, which I really liked. And of course, when he was the manager, they were not the Nationals, but same franchise. And the Nationals posted this: Rookie of the Year, Gold Glove winner, batting champ, Triple Crown winner, 2-time MVP, 2-time World Series champ, World Series MVP, 14-time All-Star, All-Star Game MVP, Manager of the Year, Hall of Famer, first manager in Nats history. And I'll retweet this. They put together a video as well. And so the tributes are pouring in. And I know I heard from a lot of you on Twitter and Facebook today about Frank Robinson. Some of you remembering games that you were at or moments in which you saw him hit one of his 586 career home runs, which leaves him 10th on home runs all-time list. A Triple Crown winner, which is something that we now celebrate, right? And he did it in his first year with the Orioles. And I saw some interviews that he did going back to, you know, various TV shows and documentaries that he was part of, in which he talked about being baseball's first black manager. And he talked about the struggles of that and how he and his family had a hard time finding a place to live in Baltimore and then other places they would stop because he was African-American. And not everybody wanted a family that was black to live in their neighborhood or in their building. And so he had to deal with racism and discrimination, of course. And yet he said, my path was nothing like Jackie Robinson. He was the one that went through all the terrible, difficult times, and I had the benefit of coming behind him. So gracious as well, honest and candid, but tough. That's the word I've heard over and over and over again describing Frank Robinson from people who knew him personally. And what came to mind as I was reading more about him and watching videos on Thursday is that he had no choice but to be tough. When you're a trailblazer, when you're a pioneer, where you're going where no other human has gone before and doing something that's not been accomplished before, you have no choice to be tough because the resistance is there. Both real as well as some fabricated, right? Because people believe you can't do it or they tell you it can't be done until you do it. And that was what Frank Robinson was used to. And also, every step along the way prepared him to be the first. Every step along the way that he took, that he used with toughness, that he refused to back down, prepared him for what we now know is this incredible body of work. But for him, it was a step at a time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we'll take your reaction to the NBA trade deadline and a move in Major League Baseball. No, not the ones you were looking for. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, who right now remain completely, utterly unsigned and unfettered. They are untethered as free agents. But we'd heard this name a lot going back the last couple months. All-star catcher JT Realmuto finally gets traded from the Marlins. Think about the players that the Marlins have traded away in the last couple of years. Giancarlo Stanton, Christian Yelich, and now Realmuto. He goes to Philly. He's got 2 years left before free agency. And there was a catcher and a good pitching prospect and a couple of other players that went the other way to Miami. So Realmuto finds a home. Will this be the first domino to drop? That's kind of the interesting question as we're now days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training, both in the Sunshine League and the Cactus League. So again, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook, and our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. 855-212-4CBS. Have you noticed that veteran Major League Baseball players are now coming out and expressing their frustration at the fact that two of the best players in the game remain unsigned? And it's not a completely new phenomenon. If you remember last year, JD Martinez was still unsigned as spring training was beginning. And so now you've got guys like Evan Longoria coming out and saying, this is ridiculous. Players are being undervalued. And I understand what he means. Like, it is a little bit nutso, right? That you've got these two players who are franchise changers, right? I mean, they're guys that can help you, propel you in an amazing way to the top of the pack. They can help you chase a title. And yet they're unsigned. But here's the part that I come back to. It's supply and demand. This is still a capitalist society, and these are still businesses. And if the asking price is too high or the investment is too great, then I don't have a major issue with teams waiting until they feel like they found a place where they can legit make this jump. Now, we don't know the specifics. We don't know if the Nationals have taken their 10-year, $300 million offer off the table. We don't know that. It's very cryptic, and there's a bunch of different teams who've kind of jumped in. But what I do know is that the market goes up, and then the market goes down, and teams react because these are still businesses. This is not a personal slight to Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. Maybe the asking price is too high. And if the asking price is too high, well, you're certainly not going to expect teams to keep raising their offer if, at this point, they don't have to outbid anyone else. And so I mean, I get it from a union perspective. You want the prices to continue to go up because it benefits everyone else. If your superstars break the bank and set the market, so to speak. But this is still the United States, and economic principles still apply when you're talking about businesses. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Sean, who's in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. I love your show. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I just wanted your feeling on the NBA trade deadline, if there was any clear-cut winners or losers.
Well, I don't know that yet.
No,
these guys haven't even gotten to their new teams yet, so we'll have to find out.
On paper. And the second part, does this indicate any with the Raptors?
I'm sorry, your phone cut out. What did you say?
Sorry. The Raptors shed a bit of space with their salary. Does that indicate anything with the Kawhi or any potential people coming maybe next year, any of the big free agents?
I mean, certainly the Raptors are no different than any other team in that they recognize there are going to be a lot of big-name free agents available. But I think for the Raptors, they're in a different position because, like the Bucks, they're in a different position because they're still chasing a title this year. For the most part, a lot of the moves that were made in the NBA at this deadline were either minor moves to kind of address one particular need, or they were about clearing cap space. They weren't like the Bucks and the Raptors, who made moves, I think, to get better and to bolster their rosters because right now they've got more wins than any other team in the NBA. For the most part, it felt like teams were going backward or were posturing and positioning for the future as opposed to addressing the present. But that's not the case with the Raptors and with the Bucks. And if they win a title, either one of those teams, it changes everything. It changes the offseason implications. It changes the attractiveness for free agents. It changes the money that they might spend and how they might spend it and whether or not Kawhi might stay. So I think in the case of the Raptors, because they are actually involved in chasing a title, Sean, thank you so much for your phone call. Because they're actually involved in contending for a championship, their picture is more murky than others. You've got teams that are right now all about the future, and there's no attention to the present other than clearing cap space. But in the case of the Raptors and the Bucks, if they win a title, that could change everything for their organizations. And so that's the focus at this point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.